Hi, everybody. Welcome to Kindred Skulls. We've got a special draft edition of Kindred Skulls tonight. We're going to do a quick hit kind of review of the Vikings draft pick of Jordan Addison at number 23 overall. I did not bury the lead overall at Nick here, Nick. You know, Jordan Addison, number 23. Give us your thoughts.
I'm a little surprised at the route they went, thinking that, you know, the defense is so depleted, and there were a lot of rumblings about the Vikings doing homework on quarterbacks. Of course, we saw the three quarterbacks go in the first four picks. But Will Levis was still on the board, though. So there was some consideration, but will they go there? Will they grab one of the corners? I was surprised Joey Porter Jr. was still on the board. Addison, though, definitely feels a need, considering they left Adam Thielen, and that leaves you otherwise with the decision to start Jalen Naylor or Jalen Reagor as your wide receiver three and give them a lot of snaps. I don't think they necessarily want to do that. You've also got KJ Osborne not under contract, I think starting next year. I think he's a free agent after this year. So they definitely have a need there, and it's a premium position. Addison, you know, the story is obviously he gets open really well, and he does a lot of good things after the catch. But the main rip is that he's 170, 173 pounds, 171 maybe, you know, inflating his combine numbers a little bit. So he's tiny. I mean, he is as thin and rail thin as they come. The NFL has been moving towards smaller and smaller wide receivers, I feel like. So there's a way for that to succeed. You know, we've seen very small, good route runners in the Tyler Lockett mold have a lot of success before, and I feel like I'm always a fan of giving Keenan McCardle more toys to scheme up, to coach up. I feel like he's going to be able to get open and acclimate himself and have kind of an instant impact in a lot of ways. And I will say, you know, people say he has a limited ceiling because of his lack of athleticism relatively, especially compared to his size, and because he's kind of, you know, he's already a pretty refined route runner. So, you know, when we talk about, like, ceiling and potential, he's not, like, a high-potential guy. But I'm not a big believer in talking about ceilings, especially when it comes to the wide receiver position, because I personally learned my lesson this when I said, like, Justin Jefferson has a limited ceiling. Now he is literally the best wide receiver in the NFL. I feel like similarly with Addison, a different, very different kind of receiver, obviously. You're not going to be lining Addison up as, you know, your sniffer or your move tight end. He's not going to be doing a lot of that. He can line up outside. He did plenty of that, especially this last year at USC. But he's more of a guy who relies on his quickness out of his breaks and his elusiveness to kind of earn targets and earn yards after the catch. So I don't know. That's a lot of my initial impressions, my initial thoughts. I like getting the premium position. I do think it was pretty good value. So overall, I'm content. I'm not over the moon. This isn't the Anthony Richardson pick, but I'm happy. Matt, I know you were not as big of a fan about Jordan Addison. Can you tell us the things you liked and the things that made you kind of a little less of a Jordan Addison stan based off his tape?
So the listeners of this podcast will know that 2 days ago we released an episode where I kind of argued against taking Jordan Addison at 23. So I'm not particularly in love with this decision. I mean, my preference at 23 would have been to trade down. The Vikings, you know, it appears tried to run down the clock about as much as possible before getting the pick in. So I do believe they were actively trying to trade down and were unable to execute a trade that was beneficial to them. So and that's, you know, obviously speculation on my part. I don't have that reading of the tea leaves, you know, so we can scream we wanted to trade down all we want. But at the end of the day, if you don't have a trade partner, it's simply not going to happen, right? So with the Vikings not being able to get that trade down or not being able to get a deal that moved them off of Jordan Addison, you know, that's fine. It is what it is, right? The draft's the draft. You need to have a trade partner to trade down. I would have preferred a corner pick here just because I think it's a high-value position. That being said, with the Vikings, I do like the addition of a high-value position and a wide receiver. It just so happened that I didn't like any of the receivers in this class besides Jaxon Smith-Njigba for the Vikings in the first round. Like, I didn't think they had that value. You know, a guy like Nolan Smith is somebody who I may have preferred here if they didn't want to go the corner route and they wanted to go the edge rusher route instead. With that being said on Jordan Addison, you know, I think Luke did do a good job on the podcast of selling me on Jordan Addison as the number 23 overall pick, because My major concern with Jordan Addison, at the combine, he's 5'11", one, which is 5'11 and 1/8 inch tall, 171 pounds, right? They list him at 173. That might have been when he was listed at USC. I don't really know. So with that, immediately, my thought goes to, okay, I need the guy to have an elite trait to overcome my red flag of this size deficiency, right? And you can think about smaller receivers in the NFL historically, right? The DeSean Jacksons of the world. Obviously, the elite trait for DeSean Jackson is having 4.3 speed and being a crazy good deep threat, right? Jordan Addison ran a 4.49, right? He doesn't have that elite burner deep threat speed. Devontae Smith, who, you know, was very much questioned for his size, was one of the best play strength receivers for his size, pound for pound. Like, he makes ridiculous contested catches. He had great play strength at Alabama, and that's continued to the NFL, where he's been successful, right? That level of play strength has been successful. That's also, like, play strength is not a hallmark of Jordan Addison's game. He can get moved off his line during press. What Luke argued, and I haven't fully dug deep on Jordan Addison, so my analysis is more of a surface level analysis, and Luke has watched Addison and liked him a lot. Luke's argument is that Addison, even if he gets knocked out in his line, has an uncanny knack of not only getting back on the route, but also doing so with good timing, right? So that's the key to success for Jordan Addison in the NFL, is getting, like, first of all, winning at the line of scrimmage with quickness, right? Winning with his route running ability, which, again, he's not a great tester, but on some level, testing shows your athletic potential. If you already have the technical skills to do the things that you're being asked to do, and you test well enough, right, where you're not like a bottom percentile athlete, and Jordan Addison had a just under 6 RAS, that's a quote-unquote average RAS, under 5 is a huge red flag, but he didn't get under 5, and he has huge penalties for his size in terms of the way RAS works. So I do think it benefits I do think... You know, from an athletic perspective, you're not concerned about Addison being fast enough or quick enough at the NFL level. He's just maybe not as fast or as quick as you would like. With the fit on the Vikings, though, you know, the Vikings have Justin Jefferson as their number one wide receiver, right? He's going to be drawing the coverage attention. You can play Justin Jefferson at X. Justin Jefferson is incredible at defeating press. So that means you can play Jordan Addison on the outside at the Z receiver or in the slot, right, where he doesn't have to face the press coverage that might derail him in the NFL. And he can attempt to be the productive route runner that he was throughout college, right? Obviously, he won the Biletnikoff Award at Pitt the year before with Kenny Pickett as his quarterback. He goes to USC with Caleb Williams, who's going to be another, you know, the number one overall pick in the draft, but continues his level of production. Like, he had high levels of production with two different programs in two consecutive seasons. So I think that productive ceiling is very enticing. And, like, if you take Jordan Addison's tape and you don't tell me what his size is, if you take his production level, if you take, you know, who he is or who I understand him to be as a player, and don't tell me that he's 171 pounds, right? If he's 190 pounds, I'm 100% on board with this pick. So the physicality concerns are big for me, and they're the big red flag that kind of made me on the outside say, I don't really want to take this player in the first round. But if the physicality turns out not to be a problem in the NFL, it's as good of a pick as any. I prefer this to the other wide receiver pick, the other wide receiver options in the first round, past Jackson Smith and Jigma, right, who is not an option to us, because all of the other guys who are that highly ranked have size concerns too, and they're not as technically proficient or productive as Jordan Addison was coming out. So at the end of the day, I do think the Vikings got better. I think we fill it. Clear need with our wide receiver room, whether this means KJ Osborne is wide receiver two or Jordan Addison can compete with him. It does mean that we have an improvement over, you know, the Jalen Naylor, Jalen Reagor wide receiver three combo, which I think we both like what Jalen Naylor might become, but it's certainly not something you want to rely on. I guess with Joey Porter Jr. and Deontay Banks on the board, like, I would have preferred the Vikings picking one of those two, because I think the corner room is a more desperate need for the Vikings just in terms of getting warm bodies there. But overall, it should be a positive pick for the Vikings, right? And if my concerns can be alleviated, like, Jordan Addison could turn into a phenomenal player. So I'm not trying to write this pick off. It's just kind of I went on a rant, you know, about his size and how that was a bad idea for the Vikings to take him at 23. So I can't kind of come off of that immediately when they pick him.
Yeah, not to go on a rant about floors or use talk about a floor as a heuristic when I was just ragging on ceilings, but I feel like a bad case scenario for Addison, realistic, is that he's somebody you kind of have to hide in your offense because you're worried about the play strength and you're worried about the lack of versatility. You're worried about, can he survive on the outside, at, you know, getting jammed? Or even a soft jam, or even like a soft back pedal where he's, you know, getting physical contact and he has to rely on his play strength to sort of establish leverage in a route. That's something he's going to, I think, struggle with at the NFL level. So, I mean, you can you can get around that in the NFL. You can move guys around. You can get them off press coverage and you can move them inside. Then, you know, you're talking about using your first round draft pick on a guy who's primarily a slot receiver or somebody you have to move around and put into bunches and put his, design his releases in such a way that he's kind of a limited player. At the same time, I feel like, very least, you're getting somebody who I think can contribute right away as a guy who can get open. And, you know, I just talked about, you know, I care a lot less about a guy's athletic testing at the combine, you know, especially after we've seen so many really talented wide receivers who are mediocre athletes, at least in terms of testing, compared to a lot of other positions. You know, you'd be surprised at how many you know, Stephon Diggs and DeAndre Hopkins and Keenan Allen's and all the other guys out there. What makes me really excited about Addison is, you know, and his kind of his trump card is his footwork and his play speed. And as particularly not just, you know, he's not just a burner, although we can win vertically. And we saw that last season. But, you know, he's also doesn't lose speed out of his cuts and does a really good job doing that. And I feel like that's actually a very rare trait that's really important, especially when you're talking about an offense like a Sean McVay type offense where you're running so many of those dig routes. He's money on those intermediate dig routes. You know, you just have to worry about getting hit as he's coming across the middle of the field. But getting open, he does that really well. Not to mention all the whip routes, all the other fun things that the are kind of staple routes for this offense. I mean, he the way he runs his whip routes, I think, is very impressive. Just the his ability to sort of make that double cut and still not lose play speed, I think, is a very rare trait. So that much has me excited, and that's kind of something that, even though he's got like a mediocre RAS score, even though his testing wasn't anything to write home about, especially given when you adjust for his play size, I feel like Keenan McCardell is still getting a guy with a lot of valuable traits that may not necessarily show up in the underwear Olympics, but still can translate into somebody who can become a very valuable wide receiver. Who, you know, he doesn't have to be a wide receiver one. He can just be the Devontae Smith to our A.J. Brown or something. And I know he doesn't have Devontae Smith's play strength, but, you know, he the Devontae Smith, I think, is the guy you look at right now, somebody who's 170 pounds and can succeed in the NFL by using his ability to get open and his ability after the catch. I don't think Addison brings exactly that to the table, but I feel like you're getting something in that neighborhood, or at least at the very worst, you're getting, you know, a slot receiver who can contribute and rotate in, I think, pretty early on. So I get the value. I always like drafting premium positions with premium picks. I feel like it's a need. So overall, I'm happy. I'm not like, at the end of the day, we still got Kirk Cousins as our quarterback, and that's a little depressing to be staring down the barrel of another Kirk Cousins extension or who knows what. But I do like the idea of adding this guy to the offense. And, it, you know,
so actually, real quick, Nick, did you personally like Levis? Because I didn't personally like Levis. Like, I would have accepted it if the Vikings did it and gotten on board with it, because if they see the developmental potential in him, like, I agree with that. But I didn't like him as a quarterback myself.
I didn't love him. If they took him, I would have been fine with it because, you know, I kind of would have trusted their evaluation about his ability to fix all of his deficiencies. But he was not somebody I didn't want them to trade up when he was falling, even though, you know, we saw rumors early on he'd go as early as four, maybe even number two overall. So when he started falling, you know, some people were pounding the table to move up for him. I would have been fine with him at 23, but I'm also completely fine passing on him. So I don't know.
Yeah, so just real quick, because you had mentioned it, Stephon Diggs, 4.46 40, Jordan Addison, 4.49. 34-inch vert, Jordan Addison, or Diggs had 35-inch vert, Addison had 34. 10.3, it was under 10-foot broad jump for Diggs, 115 inches. Jordan Addison was 10.2. Diggs had a 7.03 three cone, Addison was 7.05. Short shuttle, 4.32 for Diggs. Addison was 4.19. So Addison, like, athletically, like, extremely comparable to Diggs, honestly. Like, all of those numbers are pretty close. The thing is, Diggs weighed in at 195 at the combine, and Addison weighed in at 171, right? So that weight is a huge difference, but I think, you know, looking at it, I agree with you that early on in his career, you know, you can find ways to get Addison free releases and prevent him from having to face the physicality that I have a question mark with defenders. So it gives you a pretty easy answer for him early on. And then in addition to that, like, you know, I don't want to say, you know, Stephon Diggs is the ceiling here or whatever, but like, we've seen guys with that sort of body type where they're not huge, they're not great athletes, turn into the game's best receivers. So I don't think there's necessarily a limit on his ceiling if he can prove that he can win on his releases against press coverage and against that physicality, and win at the catch point against that kind of press coverage and physicality too, right? Because that's another thing that Stephon Diggs is great at that I don't have a great read on Jordan Addison for right now. So overall, a little bit disappointed in the pick given the options that were available to the Vikings, but I do think, you know, it fills a position of need, and a lot of other people are very excited about this. So I could just be completely off base with my evaluation of Jordan Addison as well, right? So I'm not too arrogant that I'm going to be like, I'm right and everybody else is wrong on this one. So with that, if unless you have anything else to add, Nick, I think we're going to wrap it up.
If nothing else, I think we'll be getting a lot of we'll be right back potential clips out of Jordan Addison. You know, but the potential of Justin Jefferson dunking on players with his routes, Jordan Addison brings that absolutely. Those highlight reel, breaking ankles, leave guys in the dust. So that's what has me excited to watch Jordan Addison in purple and gold.
So for the Vikings, we got JJ, we got KJ, we got TJ, and we got JA, right? So we got a lot of J's on the team right now. For Kindred Skulls, the podcast, you can find us at Kindred Skulls on Twitter. We're available on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We're available on YouTube as well. I'm Matt Freese. He's Nick Olson at Nick Olson NFL. My handle is at Fries Football. And also Greg Blake is at You've Been Gregged. Skull Vikings, go Jordan Addison.
Oh. Cool, baby.
Another first round corner wouldn't do us any harm. Oh, another first round corner wouldn't do us any harm. Oh, another first round corner wouldn't do us any harm. And we'll all cheer on behind, and we'll score.